Shodhanandan Braj Janaranjana Saranam Yashodhanandana Braj Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachadi Yamuna Tira Vanachadi Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki, Jai Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 16 readings from Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter 20, text 44. Mita itasmin yad abhutto martand iti vipadesha hiranyagarbha iti yad dhiranyandha samudbhava. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation, the sun god is also known as Vairaj, the total material body for all living entities. Because he entered this dull egg of the universe at the time of creation, he is also known as Hiranyagarbha, because he received his material body from Hiranyagarbha, Lord Brahma. Purport, the post of Lord Brahma is meant for very highly elevated, spiritually advanced living beings. When such living beings are unavailable, Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, expands himself as Lord Brahma. This takes place very rarely. Consequently, there are two kinds of Brahmas. Sometimes Brahma is an ordinary living entity, and other times Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Brahma spoken of here is an ordinary living being. Whether Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or an ordinary living being, he's known as Vairaja Brahma and Hiranyagarbha Brahma. Therefore, the sun god is also accepted as Vairaja Brahma. There's only a few texts left in the chapter, so we'll finish the chapter. Text 45. O King, the sun god and the sun planet, divides of the universe. It is only because of the presence of the sun that we can understand what the sky, the higher planets, this world, and the lower planets are. It is also only because of the sun that we can understand which places are for material enjoyment, which are for liberation, which are hellish and subterranean. Text 46. All living entities, including demigods, human beings, animals, birds, insects, reptiles, creepers, and trees, depend upon the heat and light given by the sun god from the sun planet. Furthermore, it is because of the sun's presence that all living entities can see. Therefore, he is called Drigishwara, the personality of Godhead, oversight. Purport, in this regard, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Surya Atma Atmat Veno Pashya. The actual in the universe is the sun. He is therefore Upashya, worshipable. We worship the sun god by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, Tat Savitur Varenyam Pargo Devasya Dimahi. Surya is the life and soul of this universe. Sun god is the life and soul. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the life and soul of the entire creation. We have information that Vairaja, Hiranyagarbha, entered the great dull material globe called the sun. This indicates that the theory held by so-called scientists that no one lives there is wrong. Bhagavad Gita also says that Krishna first instructed Bhagavad Gita to the sun god, Imam Vishvaste Yogam Puktavanam Avyayam. Therefore, the sun is not vacant. It is inhabited by living entities. The predominating deity is Vairaja, or Vivasvan. The difference between the sun and earth is that the sun is a fiery planet, but everyone there has a suitable body and can live there without difficulty. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 5th canto, 20th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Studying the Structure of the Universe. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Shtabhutade Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanan Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, Hare Krishna, everyone. Nice to see you. Today is, of course, the Divine Appearance Day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So we can try to understand a little better these few texts and purports here. The first verse that we're covering today is actually explaining the nature of the sun god. The next chapter will be describing the movements of the sun. So here we're hearing the sun god is known as Vairaja, and he received his material body from Lord Brahma. Now the sun god is actually very unique. It's quite a very interesting tattva point of the sun, that contrary to material speculative science, it's not fire or matter, but in the Vedic understanding, all the planets are actually they're predominating deities, and that's why they're exerting influences on us. And so the sun actually, the sun is the effulgence of the sun god. So is explaining that Brahma actually is responsible for his body, and there's two different types of Brahma. One is an ordinary living entity who's very elevated. Periodically, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself takes that position when no one is qualified. So I wanted to maybe just refresh our memory, actually, of this personality of the sun god, because these are important Vedic understandings that if we get ourselves understand that when we look up and see rather there's a personality that's presiding there. We may recall earlier in the fifth canto, actually, we were hearing some descriptions from Bharat Maharaj, who was worshipping Narayan in the form of the sun god. From the sixth, explains that Maharaj Bharat worshipped Lord Narayan, whose body was composed of golden effulgence and who resided within the sun. Maharaj Bharat worshipped Lord Narayan by chanting the hymns given in the Rig Veda, and he recited the following verse as the sun rose. Purport: the predominating deity within the sun is Hiranmaya, Lord Narayan. He is worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra. He is also worshipped by other hymns, Rig Veda, for instance, and the Sanskrit is there. Within the sun, Lord Narayan is situated, and he has a golden hue. So the sun god is actually described as an expansion of Narayan himself, that worshipping Narayan, sometimes that takes the form of worshipping the sun god. And we're hearing why, actually, that the sun is responsible for the life and subsistence of all living entities all over the universe. So naturally, he is an appropriate. The next text in that section explains the predominating deity of the sun is another expansion of Narayan, who is illuminating the entire universe. The Lord enters the hearts of all living entities as the supersoul, and he gives them intelligence and fulfills their material desires. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. In the purport, Narayan sits on his lotus flower within the sun. Every living entity should take shelter of Narayan just as the sun rises. According to modern scientists, the material world rests on the sun's effulgence. Due to the rotating and vegetables are growing. We also have information that the moonshine helps vegetables and herbs grow. Actually, Narayan, the sun, is maintaining the entire universe. Therefore, Narayan should be worshipped by the Gayatri Mantra. The Gayatri Mantra is actually, this is a mantra. They can take Brahminical initiation and begin to actually worship the sun god through this mantra. Now, we want to understand how this is going to relate actually with our understanding the sun god as a representation of Vishnu, of Krishna, that Krishna is actually the source and maintainer of all living entities. So this is a verse from the purport from the fourth canto. It's explained, the Lord is just like the effulgent sun. Consequently, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, there cannot be darkness. Actually, this dark universe is illuminated by the sun, but the sun and moon simply of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Prabhasmi Sasi Surya Yo, I am the illuminating energy of both the sun and the moon.
The conclusion is that the origin of all life is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Being illuminated by the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is freed from darkness. So the effulgence of the sun that's maintaining all living beings in this material universe is actually nothing but a manifestation of Krishna's effulgence. So Krishna is directly maintaining us. The idea is that to see beyond the immediate causes of our maintenance and be able to observe in every situation of life Krishna's hand personally providing for us, maintaining us, and protecting us. Although it may be in seeming indirect ways, actually Krishna is the origin of everything. In this case, we're hearing the sun. The next verse is saying that we can understand what the sky, the higher planets, this world, and the lower planets are. It's only because of the sun that we can understand which places are for material enjoyment, which are for liberation, which are hellish and subterranean. So similarly, the living entity is very limited and defective by nature. We can hardly see, actually, in this material existence. We can't even perceive anything. What to speak of make spiritual progress without the mercy of Krishna in the form of facilities that we have, intelligence, mind. In the purport mentions, the actual life and soul of all living entities within the universe is the sun. He is therefore worshipable. So, there's a few other points I wanted to make in this connection. That actually, there's a very popular and well-known verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, the sun, that Krishna is compared to the sunlight. And this is a point we want to emphasize, how we can understand our dependence on Krishna through this analogy of the sun. And without the sun, actually, the alternative is darkness or maya, spiritual darkness. Does anyone know that verse comparing Krishna and the sun? Do you know that one? Pardon? Can you give us the translation? Yes. So the idea is understanding Krishna's presence in our lives always keeps us in a spiritually progressive position, whereas the slight forgetfulness of that, just like when the sun, you can't perceive the sun immediately, darkness. So immediately if our mind is diverted by any other thing outside of Krishna or Krishna consciousness, then we find ourselves in darkness. In the third canto, actually, Uddhava compares Lord Krishna, his appearance and pastimes is compared to the rising and setting of the sun. Similarly, when Lord Krishna was leaving this planet, it's compared to the setting of the sun, actually. Srila Prabhupada writes, the comparison of Krishna to the sun is very appropriate. As soon as the sun sets, darkness automatically appears. Darkness experienced by the common man does not affect the sun itself, either at the time of sunrise or sunset. Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are exactly like that of the sun. He appears and disappears in innumerable universes, and as long as he is present in a particular universe, there is all transcendental light in that universe, but the universe from which he passes away is put into darkness. His pastimes, however, are everlasting. The Lord is always present in some universe, just as the sun is present in either the eastern or western hemisphere. And similarly, we can just pause there because that is kind of a principal point that I want to just compare this sun that we're hearing and our dependence to actually the distinction of maya being darkness and the presence of Krishna being sunlight. Now, what we also want to draw the comparison, especially on today, is how for us, the spiritual master or the acharya is really the sun or the light of Krishna in our lives. That the appearance and disappearance of similar the acharya are compared to the rising and setting of the sun. That when the self effulgent acharya is present, radical spiritual progress can be achieved. Radical dispelling of darkness in the material world is enacted. And similarly, when the acharya departs, there's sometimes the resurgence of darkness. So this is actually what we perceived with the life of His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. was considered the sun, one of the effulgent suns in our sampradaya, in our disciplic succession. So Srila Gaura Govinda Maharaj nicely makes this comparison. He says, "Dear devotee of Krishna, an acharya comes here to give us Krishna. Krishna se tomara, Krishna ditipara, tomara sakate ache. O Vaishnav Thakur, Krishna belongs to you. Because you have bound up Krishna in your heart, with only you can give me Krishna." He says, "Acharya is like my revered spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, come here to give us Krishna, to spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world. He did such good to us." So similarly, when the appearance of the Acharya, the sun, is present, it's very ecstatic, and today is the appearance day. But also we understand that Prabhupada explained, actually the appearance and disappearance days, they're not really different. Ultimately, we're honoring the presence of that Acharya in our life. So similarly, when the sun or when the Acharya disappears, then this is considered the most acute pain. When the Acharya leaves, a dark period comes. The sun sets and darkness comes. Here Uddhava says, has set, so darkness is prevailing. This is actually what the world experienced. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in this world with a particular purpose and mission by the mercy of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who prayed actually to the Lord for some personality to carry on this mission of establishing the Vaishnava Siddhanta at a time when the teachings of Lord Chaitanya had been obscured and the Yuga Dharma and subsequent practices were unknown. Got the serious task of spreading Krishna consciousness, his desire to spread all over the world, but he required the assistance of some personality. So by Krishna's mercy, a ray of Vishnu manifests, Srila Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur. And in his short life, actually, he manifested the empire of the Gaudiya Math, which was at that time a empire of spiritual knowledge and teachings and the propagation of the proper understanding of Vaishnava Dharma and of the Gaudiya teachings that spread all over India and even making ventures into the Western world as well. And we see that when Srila Bhakti Siddhanta departed, actually there was what we're hearing about. There was some darkness during that time, that the Gaudiya Math was unable to maintain its strength, its cooperation. And similarly, when he departed, there was great trouble, actually great fractions. But this actually did, we see that the result, actually Srila Prabhupada, that there was a period of darkness, but again that sun came and Srila Prabhupada was able to establish ISKCON and actually fulfill the desire of his guru, of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and the prophecy actually given by Lord Chaitanya that the chanting of Hare Krishna would spread to every town and village in the world. So, as we transition, I just wanted to maybe touch on a few events of the life and teachings of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. But we can see here, I was just noting this comparison, that when such living beings are unavailable, Lord Vishnu expands himself as Lord Brahma to actually take up the sufficient power or devotees to carry forward this mission. Sometimes Krishna has to personally come or send one of his very confidential associates. What happened here, that Nitya Siddha devotee actually manifested. And just as the sun allows us to understand what is the sky, the higher planets, this world, and the lower planets, it's only because of the sun that we can understand which places are for material enjoyment, which are for liberation, which are hellish. So the Acharya, or the spiritual master, actually, he's giving us this vision to understand what is the nature of this world, what is the prospect of material enjoyment here, which are the proper pursuits for liberation, and what are hellish and subterranean. And that actually everyone is dependent upon the heat and light given from the sun god. So as disciples, as followers of ISKCON, we're all so much dependent actually on our spiritual masters. So by developing a strong sense of gratitude, actually, we get more linked and connected with them. Then we can better easily actually understand, appreciate, and apply their instructions. based on the principle of gratitude, seeing how the life of the disciple is nothing but the mercy of the spiritual master. The guru kripa, the mercy of the guru, is all that we're made of, really. Without that light in our lives, then there's really no hope for us. That's a very important conclusion that we have to come to. And then we can better appreciate the lives, or we're doing the Prema Devani prayers at the end of each arti. Why are we doing? Why are we? It's because we're so much indebted and grateful. It's only by all of their mercy that we're here. We're able to practice, have the association. It's always a nice reflection that every aspect of our life, given by Prabhupada and the spiritual masters, so every single thing that we're doing is by the mercy of Prabhupada and is according to his program for us. So we can never separate our life from the mercy we've received from the great spiritual masters. So I had the opportunity, the privilege to take a look at Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Vaibhav, which is a great biography. I'm sure many of you are familiar. Srila Thakur. So I thought I'd just share a few nectar points for our upliftment this morning, and Himanshu Prabhu will be able to provide us nice further descriptions during the program today. So this includes kind of a brief biographical description. So I wanted to share a few points, actually, touching on again, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur was really the cause, we could say, for the descent of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. And he had such far-reaching ambitions, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that many would consider of him kind of impractical or fanatic. He has these big dreams, but actually would see that even at that time, very soon actually, they became fulfilled. So this is, just to put things in perspective, this is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was explaining. The Dharma preached by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is universal and not exclusive. The principle of kirtan as the future church of the world invites all classes of men, without distinction of caste or clan, to the highest cultivation of the spirit. This church, it appears, will spread worldwide and replace all sectarian churches which exclude outsiders from the precincts of the mosque, church, or temple. Lord Chaitanya did not invent himself to liberate only a few men in India. Rather, his main objective was to emancipate all living entities of all countries throughout the entire universe, propagate the eternal Dharma. Lord Chaitanya states in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, "In which country my name will be sung?" There is no doubt that this unquestionable order will come to pass. Although there is still no Pranavas, Lord Chaitanya's prophetic words will, in a few days, come true, I am sure. Why not? Nothing is absolutely pure in the beginning. From imperfection, purity will come about. Very soon, the unparalleled path of Harinam Sankirtan will be propagated all over the planet. And the very famous line, "Oh, for that day, French, Russian, Prussian, and American people will take up banners, mridangas, and kartals and perform kirtan through their streets and towns. When will that day come? Western fair-skinned men from one side while chanting Jai Sachinandan, Ki Jai, will extend their arms and, embracing the devotees of our country coming from another side, treat us with brotherly feelings. When will that day be? On such a day they will say, our dear Aryan brothers, we have taken shelter at the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya, who is the ocean of transcendental love. Kindly embrace us. When will that day come? That day will witness the holy transcendental Vaishnava Prema to be the only Dharma. And like rivers meeting the ocean, all narrow creeds will mix with the unlimited Vaishnava Dharma. When will that day come? So this is very beautiful, and it helps remind us actually of what we're part of. Sometimes when we get caught up in the rituals, the program, the schedule, we don't always step back and see the bigger picture of what's actually going on. Mahaprabhu has just recently come, and these predictions are all being fulfilled. We're just being instruments, and actually this much greater plan that's being enacted by Krishna directly and through his empowered representatives. And now we're experiencing this. We have our Russian devotees, American devotees, with our Aryan brothers. We're embracing, chanting Jai Sachinanda and going on Hari. This is all due, actually, of course, to the mercy of our previous acharyas. And helping us to develop this gratitude for what we're actually doing. Also, a very fascinating point on the topic of the sun. We know that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur was a great astrologer in his youth. And by the age of actually 15, he had composed a practically plastic study of the Surya Siddhanta, which is complex mathematical work on astronomy, describing the different positions of the sun, the stars, and so simply about him. It says, recognizing his extraordinary proficiency and contributions in both the Eastern and Western systems of astrology and astronomical calculations, and specifically for his initial unpublished work on Surya Siddhanta, his tutors, Pandit Mahesh Chandra Chudamani and Pandit Sundar Lal, conferred upon him the title Sri Siddhanta Sarasvati when he was just 15 years old. Some of us can remember what we were doing at 15, or maybe we don't remember. So this is, if we just expose ourselves to the lives of Bhakti, it's so mind-blowing, so humbling, and so how appreciative we are. We get very much uplifted in our consciousness simply by putting our consciousness in touch with the lives of these great souls. So I want to share, actually, just to blow our minds, at the age of 15, what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's writing was like. We may have been writing school projects, you know, maybe making little models or whatever they have us doing in the Western. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was a little, his approach was a little different at that time. It says, from time immemorial, Indians have been reputed among non-Indians as being well-versed in different types of sciences. Western scholars unanimously consider India the birthplace of mathematics. Upon studying the primeval reference books, Indologists marvel at the unlimited research found in the mathematically based Jyotish Shastra, the ancients of India. Among the 18 most respected of such astronomical manuscripts of hoary India, Sri Surya Siddhanta is unanimously accepted as the oldest. Negligence has pushed this book to the verge of oblivion. Indians have always been lackadaisical about protecting the unbroken glory of their ancestors, and I do not expect that they will give up upon the words of someone like myself. Nevertheless, being driven by my conscience, I take pleasure in presenting this version of the text along with the translation, devoting myself with utmost effort for the benefit of today's Jyotis and Lasiks. At present, the majority of persons reputed as learned are averse to Shastriya understanding. They shamelessly promote themselves as knowledgeable in Shastra, even if totally unaware of its contents. This disease has taken aversion and inordinate desire for honor. This evil is the Jyotir Tirthas, and resulting their work is incomplete and short-sighted. I have brought out this translation of Sri Sri for the sake of attracting the attention of really intelligent thinkers toward the study of astronomy. The Jyotir Tirthas spend most of their life avidly expanding their bellies, and have completely stopped cultivating the complex knowledge of mathematical Jyotish Shastra received in Guru Parampara. Additionally, they take the help of tables, and without ever reading or even reading Sri Sri Siddhanta, they continually quote it to defend their wrong calculations. But considering how many of them have even seen Sri Sri Siddhanta, we would become extremely disappointed were we to make a list of their names. I'd like to keep going. I don't know how much is for just hearing on your side, but I'll just read maybe a little more. Some consider themselves experts in the mathematical calculations of Surya Siddhanta, and from time to time exhibit that by publishing their calculations and claiming that on the basis of their genuine abilities and studies in logic and other sciences, they are competent to reform astronomy. May Bhagavan bring them to the right path and grant them faith in Dharma. They are comparable to Muslim magistrates impudently criticizing the Arya system of charity, thus transgressing his qualification and jurisdiction. Whatever the case may be, I present this translation with adequate examples for the benefit of those muddled egoists and for general beginners in astronomy. So this you can see also through this writing, actually the mission of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was to actually, his preaching style, to very boldly ascertain and present the proper Vaishnava conclusion, the Siddhanta and the truth, as a preacher of truth, that he could not tolerate any writings in opposition to the proper Vaishnava understanding. So even from a very early age, this came out. So this, the biological presentation, it does mention how in his early age he took very severe vratas, chatur mas. He observes all the regulations from a young age until Bhakti Vinod Thakur to caution him, you don't need to practice so austerely. Please give this up, because he was becoming emaciated. And his initiation, Srila Gurudas Babaji Maharaj, and we know that he initiated himself into sannyas, and he proceeded to establish, on, after his vrata, chanting 1 billion names, following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, he took sannyas, and that marked the transition of his life into an all-out attack on Maya. He simultaneously established the Gaudiya Math that day, and from that day forward, his whole energy was spent towards establishing the Gaudiya Math, which became a flourishing mission. Kind of like how the comparison was made, like ISKCON, when Prabhupada was here, the Gaudiya Math in India was similarly just swarming or wiping the country in India. So there's a few interesting pastimes that happened in this regard also. One of the apex or the highest, one of the pivotal moments of the explosion of the Gaudiya Math took place when actually a new temple in adjoining the Ganga in Bagh Bazar, Calcutta, was constructed. And this kind of marked the success and the expansive growth of Gaudiya Math. And Srila Bhaktisanta Saraswati repeatedly stating during a visit to the building site, Mahaprabhu must have blessed this place with the touch of his divine feet. There's no doubt about it. On the way from Varahanyagar, Mahaprabhu definitely stopped here on the bank of the Ganga and performed Sankirtan with his associates. Speaking thus, he became overwhelmed by transcendental emotion. Sri Bhakti Saranga Goswami conjectured, that is probably why this land remained vacant for so long. Otherwise, there being so many available plots in Calcutta, how has this one become the site for the new math? Now, this installation actually was such a big event that it made headings on all the major newspapers. Thousands of people came, including several dignitaries of the secular world. The windows overlooking, there was a 2-mile route that took 4 hours to traverse, were packed. People taking darshan was described in this publication. Today, the city of Calcutta has become stunned. Everyone left his daily work meant for maintaining his belly. When the tumultuous sound of kirtan was heard on the streets of Calcutta, all the people were attracted, left whatever they were doing, and came dashing into the street. The devotees accompanying the chariot were singing a particular verse composed by Srila Saraswati Thakur, especially for the occasion. And this is the translation. It's in Sanskrit. It could be Bengali, actually. I'm not sure. Although apparently absorbed in material affairs, Hari's own people were actually worshipping on the spontaneous path, and thus broke the mood of reverential worship. Having rejected mundane enjoyment, they wandered in spiritual Bengal, running on the roads with other devotees. Giving up another's house and worshipping the Ganga, they danced gracefully with understanding of the workings of rasa. The parade attracted so much attention that local cinema replayed film coverage of it for 9 consecutive days. And crowd pressure on opening day bend a solid iron banister at the mat. The Gaudiya Math had begun as a small group of idealists with practically no money or assets, but after the inauguration of this grand temple, the mission became fantastically prosperous. Bountiful funds were received, wonderful festivals held, and many new devotees recruited. So kind of like Lilamrita, this kind of chronology, it presents the chronology of the growth of the Gaudiya Math, and this was one of the highest points. Of course, there was a lot of opposition also. We know that in order to establish the truth, one has to uproot untruth, of which there was so much at that time that naturally enemies were quite common, and even vicious attacks upon the members of the Gaudiya Math and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta were not very rare occurrences. Now maybe we can just hear a little bit from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta towards his later years, actually, we were explaining that similarly when the sun departs, there can be a period of darkness. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was noticing problems within the mat, disagreements, feuds, fighting and competition. So he repeatedly emphasized that he was going to be leaving. And actually, there's a very famous address, actually, towards 1936, before, 8 days before leaving this world, he assembled the devotees, and this was to be his last address. So I thought I might just share this, because it does give a... expressing the essence of his perennial message. So some of you, I'm sure, have heard it before, but this just gives us an understanding more, an idea of his mission and his mood. I have upset many persons' minds. Many might have considered me their enemy because I was obliged to speak the plain truth of service and devotion toward the absolute Godhead. I have given them all those troubles only so they might turn their face toward the personality of Godhead, without any desire for gain and with unalloyed devotion. Surely someday they will be able to understand that. All of you propagate the message of Rupa Raghunath with supreme enthusiasm. Our ultimate desire is to become the dust at the lotus feet of the Rupanugas. All should remain united in following the Ashraya Vigraha for the sake of serving the Advajnana, which refers to either the Guru or Sri Radha. In this ephemeral sphere, you should live somehow or other only for Hari Bhajan. In spite of all dangers, criticisms, and discomforts, do not give up Hari Bhajan. Don't be disappointed that most people in the world do not accept topics of unduplicitous Krishna Seva. Do not forsake your own bhajan of Krishna Katha Shravan Kirtan, which is your all in all. With humility like a straw and forbearance like a tree, you should always perform Hari Kirtan. Let our bodies, which are like those of aged oxen, be offered into the Sankirtan Yajna of Lord Chaitanya and his associates. We do not aspire to be any kind of heroes of karma or dharma, but our constitutional position and all in all is to, in every birth, become dust at Sri Rupa Raghunath's lotus feet. The Bhaktivinod Dhara will never stop, meaning the line of Bhaktivinod Thakur. With all your energy, devote yourself to fulfilling the desire of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. There are many among you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other wish whatsoever. Our only motto is, translation, taking a blade of grass between my teeth, I fall down and pray again and again to become dust at Srimad Rupa's lotus feet, birth after birth. So as members of ISKCON, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, and they're in Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, so we can appreciate these instructions, just as we receive instructions from Srila Prabhupada and our own Diksha Gurus, when we come across instructions of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, also there's so much mercy there. We know that the ability to carry out the instruction and the presence of the spiritual master is present in that instruction. So hearing instructions also from predecessor acharyas, being connected through the disciplic succession, we can also receive their mercy and blessings by trying to carry these out. Certainly there are multiple inconveniences while we are in this mortal domain, but there is no need either to be overwhelmed by them or to try to overcome them. Rather, even during the duration of our present life, we must become acquainted with what we shall gain after surpassing all those difficulties, and what shall be the mode of our permanent existence. In this world, we are compelled to make decisions regarding objects that evoke our attraction and revulsion, both those that we want and those we do not want. Attachment and detachment in this damned existence increase according to the degree that we are separated from Sri Krishna's lotus feet. When we are able to transcend the position of attachment and detachment in this world of death and are attracted by the holy name of Godhead, then only can we understand the taste of Krishna's seva rasa. At the present time, Krishna's instructions seem highly startling and perplexing. Knowing or unknowingly, everyone who is considered a human being is more or less struggling to eliminate those invading elements that baffle our perception of our eternal need. Our only requirement is to enter into the kingdom of our eternal necessity by going beyond dualities. We have no love or hatred toward anyone in this world. All arrangements made herein are but temporary. Therefore, that supreme goal is inseparably necessary for everyone in this world. All of you should work unitedly and harmoniously for the same objective of attaining eligibility for seva to the original Ashraya Vigraha. In the last paragraph, May the conceptions of the Rupanugas flow in this world. Let us never feel the slightest dejection while engaged in the seven-tongued flame of Sankirtan Yajna. Only if we have undaunted and ever-increasing attachment for it shall we achieve all perfection. Under the guidance of the Rupanugas, all of you should fearlessly and with utmost energy preach Rupa Raghunath Katha. So very shortly after he actually departed from this world at 5:30 a.m. on December 24th. Actually, yeah, this is his critical condition. So thank you. January 1st, 1937. He actually departed, and when he actually departed, all of the clocks in the Gaudiya Math, they stopped. When he departed this world, they all stopped at 5:30. And naturally there was songs of crying and wailing, and some of the devotees were chanting. It was a very difficult situation, but this departure, now we were hearing about the departure, similarly when the sun disappears, actually, there's great suffering, actually. When it's such a dear devotee of Krishna and Acharya appears, there's a dark period. As a black cloud may cover the effulgent sun, such a dark period has come. So we must cry for the effulgent sun to rise again. Let that patch of dark cloud disappear. We must cry for it. And being separated from a Krishna bhakta, a dear devotee of Krishna, is the most grievous sorrow and unhappiness. If someone becomes separated from a dear devotee of Krishna, he will experience acute pain. No other kind of sorrow can be compared to this. This is like separation from Krishna, and that is compared. If someone is separated from such a dear devotee, that is like being separated from Krishna. So similarly, this dark period that this dark period that took place after the departure of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, it did provide opportunity for Srila Prabhupada to establish ISKCON. So we see that there was a dark period, but again the sun rose. The cloud dissipated. Srila Prabhupada was able to take up very staunchly this mission and carry these very same teachings that we're hearing and present them in a way appropriate for the audience and a digestible way for us. I think it would be quite difficult if we had to go through ourselves all of the teachings of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We can hardly read a few of his essays or to speak of his books. So there are a few other areas that we could touch on, but we are kind of running out of time. So this afternoon, or this later in this morning, we'll have another program beginning at 11:15, and that will be a Pushpanjali offering, kirtan, artik, another class about the glory of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And we hope to see everyone there at 11:15. Thank you all very much for your patience. And are there any questions or comments? No.
I heard you say seven tongues of kirtan or of fire. Can you comment on that? Thank you.
It's nice to have such attentive listener. I know there's probably a lot of points that we might not have caught. So yes, I would like to comment on that. There is a footnote here, fortunately for understanding. Seven-tongued flame refers to the seven characteristics of Sri Krishna Sankirtan as described in the first verse of Shikshastika, explained by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The seven tongues are Cheto Darpana Marjanam, cleansing the mirror of the heart, Bhava Maha Devagi Nirvapanam, extinguishing the blazing forest fire of material existence, Shreya Kairava Chandrika Vidharana, one receives the benediction of pure devotional service compared to the moonshine spreading the white lily of good fortune, Vidya Vadhu Jivana, the life and soul of all knowledge. The devotee receives the benediction of knowledge of his eternal identity. Anandam Buddhivardhanam, expanding the blissful ocean of transcendental life, purnamrita sradhanam, tasting full nectar at every step, and sarvatma snapana, the self is wholly cleansed of all desires other than for selfless devotional service. So that is the further description of the Sankirtan taken from this first verse of Shikshastakam. Thank you. Anything else? Okay, is the Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada ki, Antara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.